choir. Give honor to God who gave his son my soul to save and fit it for the sky, to the members of the clergy. We have a wide variety of people over there. Cause most of them look kind of old, but we do have Reverend Minister Collins. He's one of them, so they're not all old. Male and female. Amen. Former pastor over there. Two academicians over there. Reverend West with two masters. One of them is in counseling, and one in Christian education. And then there's the other West. He's only got one master, but I don't know what it's in. What is it in? Kool-Aid, yeah. I think it's in theology. Okay, Master of Theology. And we thank the Lord for all of them. So give the members of the clergy a hand. Amen. They can preach too. And to the members of the deacon ministry. And while we're talking about, let's not forget about the Christian Leadership School. Deacon Drafton is dean of that. And to all of the members and to the visitors. Are you glad to be here? Then give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Then praise ye the Lord. Again, our theme for this month for the sermons is the goodness of God, and for Bible study, spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit, and study questions are in the back for those who come to Bible study and want to study up ahead, as we will be reviewing those questions at the beginning of Bible study. Our text is found in Psalm 31, verse 19. If you would turn there, we thank the Lord for a variety of members, and not only in the clergy and in the choir, but in the church in general. And we're encouraging young people to work. It's good to sit up in here, but we would like for you to do something that is a part of kingdom work. And if you don't know what to do, talk to the Lord. He'll help you out. Psalm 31:19. Oh, by the way, we are going to be talking about how to find your spiritual gifts in Bible study. That's one of the things we're going to talk about, because everybody has one. God doesn't send anybody out into the field to watch other folk work, and that's all. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, in which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. We want to talk about special blessings for special people. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you will. Special blessings for special people. Let us pray. Almighty God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, from whom all blessings flow. We thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. We thank you for all that I have done, is doing, going to do, able to do. We thank you for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for divine guidance, strength, and sanction, that the work we do, the words we speak, will truly be your own, sinners finding salvation, saints consolation and edification. All to your honor and glory, in Jesus' name we do pray. Let every child of God see, man. Amen. Amen. Text taken from Psalm 31, verse 19. With the title for the message, Special Blessings for Special People. Writer, preacher Jerry Bridges wrote that goodness is kindness in action. Have you ever thought of God's goodness that way? His goodness as his kindness in action. Well, we will learn the acts of God's goodness for a certain group of people or individuals. We will divide this message, if you will, into the respect of the text and the reliance of the text. This text is divided into two parts itself, where you have what is sometimes found in the Psalms, a verse that is broken into two parts, where each part really is simply restating the same general idea in different words. And we'll begin with that, with the respect of the text, where it reads, "Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Let's look at it, these blessings in the respect of the text. And it is indeed true that God's goodness is great, just tremendous goodness. His goodness really refers to his benefits, what he does to make things pleasant for us. In fact, that same word that is translated as good or goodness sometimes is translated as pleasure or pleasant, because God does so much to make things pleasant for us. He benefits us in multifarious ways, seen and unseen, known and unknown. There is, to begin with, what I call lots of blessings. The L-O-B, the lots of blessings. God creates clouds that hold water, and then he commands them to let it go as rain. And that rain fills oceans, seas, rivers, ponds, and streams. And I dare not forget to mention that he gives us the air to breathe. It has oxygen. What good would it be if it was all nitrogen or carbon dioxide when we need oxygen? We need it to breathe. And then we breathe in the oxygen we need and we exhale the carbon dioxide. But look at what God does. He spoke plants into existence that are constantly replenishing the air, taking out the carbon dioxide and giving us back the oxygen that we need. There are so many more LOBs, lots of blessings, that we can list. Make your own list. Then after you make that list, give God some praise. Yes, because these lots of blessings, these LOBs, are general blessings that come whether you are a saint or a sinner, a believer in God or a rebel against God. Now, if you're a saint or a sinner, here's something I want you to do. I want you to take a deep breath, and I will do it with you. And now, exhale. If you indeed inhale and exhale, you just experience the goodness of God. So give him some praise up in here. But in addition to the category that I just brought up, a special grace of what I call the LOB, the lots of blessings, is a category called by the writer of this text, laid up blessings. That's right. He says it right here, laid up. It's translated from a Hebrew word that is also translated as hidden in Job chapter 15, verse 20. And I noticed that in the NIV and the NAS translations, is translated as stored. God has blessings stored up. You can call it laid up, hidden. You know, they, Silas Marner in the novel hid away his money in the attic. You can call it stored, the way a squirrel stores his nuts. But some of these blessings, whether you call them laid up, hidden, or stored, some of these blessings are not in use yet. Some of you young whippersnappers out there are storing up money so that when you get my age, you won't have to be eating dog food. You can eat regular food like other people. You are storing it up. You're not spending it now. It is stored up for future use. And that's the way some of the blessings that God has given us, some have been assigned to be received or used by us to benefit us at a future time. I would like to give you some examples. Some people like examples. It could be an automobile that you're not yet driving. And the reason you're not driving it is because you don't have it yet. Don't yet own it. It could be a promotion that you have not been given. Therefore, you haven't received it yet. It could even be a very good friend that you haven't even met yet. It could even be a glorious mansion in the sky beyond the grave. You don't have them yet, but they have been laid aside. You can't see them. You can't smell them. And really, the truth be told, it's like a child looking for his presents for Christmas. You can't even find them. But they are there. For the right time, they will be revealed. And I believe somebody in here ought to praise God for laid up blessings. Now, I know what you were thinking. You don't have to tell me. I already know. I can see it in your face. You understand these LOB blessings. You understand the blessing of sunshine and rain, the blessing of air. You understand that kind of LOB blessings. But then I mentioned stored up blessings, laid up blessings, secret blessings, hidden blessings. Who gets these? I'm glad you asked me that. Because as I move from the blessings in the respect of the text, I move now to the beneficiaries in respect of the text. Because the laid up blessings are not just for any and everybody. Specially timed and declared at just the right time. Laid up blessings, the text says, goes to those who fear God. Fear God? Yes. Who respect God. And I'm not just talking about people who show up in church dressed to the nines, who make a special trip to the beautician to get their hair just right. After all, I am going to church on Sunday. Or get the suit pressed. After all, Mama said, Big Mama said, always look your best when you go to church. I'm not talking about just going to church. Because you can go to church. That doesn't mean you've gone to Christ. I'm talking about those that respect God in praise, worship, and obedience. So respecting God is about more than just sitting in the pews or sitting in the worship service. But some attend, but their heart is not in it. Some are present in body, but to take the words of the song, their heart is on the other side of town. Oh, how great is God's goodness, his blessings to these beneficiaries who have a special relationship with him because they respect him. Those who come to God through faith in the God-man, come to him in faith in his only begotten son, who come to him sincerely. Come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, committing their lives to him. They have stored up blessings. They have more than any bank can hold or any scale can measure. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you will. We have talked in the respect of the text. We've talked about the blessings in the respect of the text and the beneficiaries in the respect of the text. But he goes on in the reliance of the text. Notice, and again, it's another way of saying what he said in the respect of the text, in the reliance of the text, which thou hast wrought. Wrought? We don't talk too much like that anymore, but which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In reliance of the text, there's committed treasure. That's right. Committed treasures are in the reliance of the text. I see it in the words here, which thou hast wrought for them. Here, by the way, wrought is translated from a Hebrew word that is translated as commit in Hosea chapter 7. Verse 1, and ordained in Psalm 7:13, blessings that God has committed. Blessings that God has ordained. Sound almost like laid aside. He has committed them, he has ordained them in eternity. Even though some of these blessings that are committed to you and ordained to you, you experience even now. But remember this, that the car you drive as a child of God, that the credit people said you could not have and could not pay for, you not only do you have it, you've already paid off the note. I want you to understand that it was committed to you before you ever saw it in the first place. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise up in here. That fine husband, that fine wife that you have, that you brag so much about. Understand that they were committed to you before you ever laid eyes on them. They are part of the ordained, the committed blessings to those who trust in God. And God has a way of blessing us ahead of. He puts us in the head of the line. That's right. Those who trust in him, those who rely in him, those who have an attitude of committed trust. And it is also about an attitude. Some people, the way they act, their attitude seems to be that of doubt and not trust. Proverbs 3:5 tells us to trust him with all of our heart. We ought to have a great passion of trust, even in our darkest hour. Not only do we have an attitude of trust, we have an action that speaks trust. An action in how we live and how we give. The way we live says that our trust is a little crazy. Because unless you trust into the crazy zone, you really don't have that much trust at all. Trust that lets you walk in the light when you know where you're going and can see where you're going is not very much trust at all. But will you trust him in the dark when you can't even see where your feet are going? Or in fact, you can't even see where he is leading. Would you still trust him then? Would you give to him in money, give to him in service, even though others call it crazy? Will you still do it when your friends are criticizing how much time you give to the church, how much money you give to the church, how hard you work for the church? Do you still trust him enough to do it regardless of what other folks say? Oh, now I noticed something funny about us. We will buy stock in GE, stock in AT&T. We don't know how they're using the money. We don't know who's holding the money. We don't know what they're buying with the money. But we trust them with the money. But when it comes to church, what they doing with all that money anyway? What do you care? You didn't give us but a nickel. But when you say, I'm going to do what's right and trust those who I'm giving it to, whether it is a charity or whether it is a church, to do what's right, that's trust. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you will. So your actions of trust cry out, neither man nor trouble controls me. They don't control my worship. They don't control my praise. They don't control my living. They don't control my giving. They don't control who I speak to or who I love or who I like. You can't tell me who to like. You can't tell me who to love. I listen to the voice of God, and I trust in his voice. I trust in the one who brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Always those trying to manipulate me, trying to play me, trying to be the boss of me, telling me who to love, how much to give, how to serve. But I don't know about you, but I put my trust in God. Do I have anyone else that's putting their trust in God? Man wants to pick, your friends want to pick, your service want to pick your church. But this is about those who respect, who fear God, who rely on him and his Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Do you really trust him? Do you trust him in times of fear? In the words of Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The strength of my life? Of whom shall I be afraid? Not only trust him in the time of fear, do you trust him in times of failure? When you're doing what you believe God told you to do, but still it didn't come out looking like you thought it would look. But you refuse to see failure as final. Do you not only trust him with your fears, trust him with your failures, do you trust him with your foes? That regardless of how many people come up against you, how many people say they don't like you, how many people are digging ditches, how many people are smiling in your face and trying to stab you in the back, you know what God has called you to do. And you know that he's able to make your enemies your footstool. Not only do you trust him with your fears and trust him with your failures and trust him with your foes, do you trust him with your future? That regardless of how 2015 look, I realize that God is controlling my future. My future is in the hands of the Lord. I'm going to put it in his hand. I'm not going to listen to what you say I can and cannot do. You do not have the last word. I know who holds the future. I'm putting my life in the Lord's hand. Yes, these committed treasures are those who trust in him. In the time of fear, failure, foes, yes, and even with their future. And how do they do it? Because they have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. Well, I've done my job. And somebody's saying it's good riddance, about time, preacher. And in this particular case, you're right. It is about time. We have praise walked through the respect of the text, talking about laid up blessings. For those who respect God in praise, worship, and obedience. And then we moonwalked or danced through the reliance of the text. And for your old timers, we did the locomotion. As we went through, okay, the alligator, the crocodile, okay. As we went through the reliance of the text, talking about committed treasures for those who have committed trust. Now I'm ready to ask a question. Are there any worshipers in here that are glad that they have laid up blessings? No, you can't see my blessing. But when the right time comes, God has a treasure chest just waiting for me. Do I have anybody, any believers in here that are glad that they have committed treasures? Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but I know how Hogan feels about it. And I'm already digging into the treasure chest of heaven. I'm already digging into blessing that God has set up for me. When I was sick, great God Almighty, I went into the treasure chest and got some committed healing. And I was healed. When I laid down last night, great God Almighty, I went into the treasure chest and I got awakening. And he awakened me this morning, started me on my way. Oh, is there anybody in here that's glad that you had some committed treasures on last night? Because early this morning, you shook off sleep. And now you can say, I'm glad to be in that number one more time. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, I'm talking about really think about it. You are spending committed treasure with every breath you take and with every walk and every step you make. Is there anybody in here that say, look at me now. I'm talking on committed treasure. I'm looking at you eyeball to eyeball on committed treasure. Watch me moonwalk. I'm doing it on committed treasure. Do I have anybody in here? Are you glad? Are you glad? Are you glad? Then say yes. Say yes. Oh, say yes. It's prayer time. Altar time come. We're going to have an altar call as we pray on this first Sunday of the year with an altar prayer. I don't know what you were looking for in 2015, you know, sometimes we want God to go in that chest, get us our stuff early. The songwriter said, you can't hurry God. You got to trust him. You got to wait. He may not come when you want him, but after all, that blessing does have your name on it. And that blessing is coming right on time. And for someone in here, is coming in 2016. God has a way of giving us crazy, unexpected blessings. You ask God for 50 cents, he give you $50. Ask for a nice apartment, he give you a nice car. Ask for a bicycle, he gives you a car. Wow. That's the kind of God. You ask for blue jeans, he give you wardrobe. Ask for a boyfriend, he give you a husband. Ask for a girlfriend, he gives you a wife. I mean, God. Ask for a buddy, he gives you a friend that stick closer than any brother. You are a child of God. Fear him. Trust him. I want you to know that God already has a blessing, a whole treasure chest of them laid up for you that he will pull out of that chest or let you pull it out at just the right time. If you really trust him, if you really do respect him in praise, in worship, and obedience, then trust God to do right. Don't give up on him. Let us pray. Almighty God, the giver of every good and perfect gift from whom all blessings flow, thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Thank you for what you have done or doing, going to do, able to do. We thank you for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for laid up blessings, stored blessings, hidden blessings that cannot be seen by the eyes of mortal man. But they will be delivered, post-dated. That will be delivered. Those post-dated blessings will be delivered on time. We thank you for these who are standing here, some asking for one thing and some asking for another. But they are trusting you to be a deliverer, a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Some are calling for peace in the home. Bring peace. Someone for calling on you to bring that child off the street, out of prostitution, out of incarceration. Someone is in economic distress, financial distress, lost a job. Employ them. Someone is trying to make ends meet. Bless them. Someone, a loved one, has gone from labor to reward. Comfort them. Someone has a loved one that's sick in the hospital, maybe even in ICU. Through the eyes of mortality, through the eyes of humanity, things don't look good. But they are trusting. We are trusting in your goodness, in your great goodness that you have laid up for those who respect you, who fear you, and you wrought for those who trust you. And if there is one who came into this church, who came to this service, not knowing your son as Lord and Savior, not the beneficiary yet of these laid up blessings, these committed blessings, we pray that when the call is made, the invitation is extended, that they will come kneeling in deep contrition, come in faith and repentance, come trusting your son as Lord and Savior. Come forward as a candidate for baptism. In the precious name of Jesus, let every child of God say amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm going to ask if everyone will stand. And those of you may go back to your seat unless the Lord has led you to join New Zion Hill.